This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. I took a trip a couple of weeks ago trying to get some insight into this question. What does manufacturing in this economy look like right now? Because it's not what it used to be, right? And that's not a crack on it either. It's just true. We make different things than we used to. And manufacturing is a smaller slice of the economy overall than it was a couple of decades ago. But we're still talking millions of jobs, 12.5 million of them, according to the Department of Labor. So the once and future state of what America makes and how matters. Over the next 3 days, then, three slices of American manufacturing, starting with this guy.
Good morning, Monty Galbraith.
Morning, Monty.
You must be Kai
Ryssdal. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Monty Galbraith owns and runs DNA Textile Group in Columbus, Georgia. We had him on the program about a year and a half ago as part of a series we did on NAFTA.
This was a textile town. There were thousands of looms and hundreds of thousands of spindles all up and down this area. Since NAFTA was put into place, just about everybody has gone out of business. That was in the textile business. There's just a very, very few of us remaining.
Back then, Monty's company, DNA Textile, was one of only three in this country still making denim fabric, and he was doing all he could to keep it afloat. We called him again not too long ago with NAFTA and trade policy and American manufacturing in the news, and we asked if we could come see him.
Kai, this is the beginning of the process.
Tell me about these machines. I mean, are these giant? Are they looms? They're not looms.
No,
right?
We'll show you looms in just a second.
All right, well, I don't know. I'm not a...
We don't buy cotton. We buy it from yarn vendors like the building next door to us.
Yeah.
They actually bring the cotton in and spin it into yarn.
Okay.
Those are yarns. They look like giant sewing bobbins, right?
That's exactly right.
And we take the one end of each one of those and we wrap. What we're trying to do is those little ones go onto this big giant one. Exactly.
All right.
Now what you're seeing, Kai, is the indigo dyeing range. As you can see, it's down.
Yeah.
This was just, not too long ago, wide open, running wide open.
Wow.
And now you can see it is shut down.
It's literally dark.
It's literally dark. We have turned the lights off down here.
Monty's not getting the prices he wants or the demand he needs to keep his denim line running. But what he's doing about it is part of a bigger story about what it means to be a manufacturer in the American economy right now. And what it means is change.
We are transitioning it from denim and apparel fabrics to technical specialty fabrics.
So these are just big, giant rolls of denim?
These are big, giant rolls of denim. What you're seeing here, these are the last runouts of fabric that we're keeping our commitments to our customers who we've been doing business with these guys for 20, 30 years. And we made the decision to get out of the business. We felt it was important to honor these agreements and obligations that we had with them, as well as to help them build a bridge to other vendors.
DNA Textile started making denim back in 2002, selling to Levi's, then Wrangler, Gap, and Old Navy, and Abercrombie & Fitch. Monty Galbraith's last contract is with Polo. And all of those brands I just mentioned have started bringing in finished jeans from overseas, China, Bangladesh, Vietnam, and Egypt. Monty's been in the denim business since he was a teenager.
I'm a classic, the old term lint head. I've had lint in my hair my whole life.
This is an actual factory, too. 275,000 square feet, huge machines all over the place, all in the service of getting denim and other textiles out the door.
Oh, there you go. That's a loom, right?
No, we're not there yet. You'll know.
I'm going to stop guessing.
You will know when we get to the weave room.
Well, so what is this thing, right? What is this?
These are sand frizing machines. This is actually a machine that we're getting ready to take offline, because when we go to this new processes, these won't be used in the new process.
This is a giant piece of gear. Is this just now lost cost here for you?
We're selling this to a dealer, basically for pennies on a dollar that we bought it for, though.
Got to kill you.
It's killing me, Kai. You just don't know.
You sound almost wistful, actually, about shutting down the denim.
That's putting it mildly. This is something that I've done personally all my working life. At one point, Kai, we had over 300 people in this plant. We are down to less than 100 today.
I was going to say, it feels a little empty, and the shelves are a little empty.
It really is. And so wistful is I'm being polite, because I'm more pissed off than anything else, because we had 300 folks here. The last round of layoffs just were completed probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And so these are really good people. Some of them are like family to me, that have done nothing but great things their whole life. And now, because of trade laws, they are out of work, and they are looking for jobs, and they are scared to death.
When NAFTA went into effect in 1994, there were almost 500,000 people working at textile mills in this country. They were making everything from sheets to socks and T-shirts and all of it. The Labor Department says that now, textiles employs just north of 100,000 people here, and that there are just two mills making denim in the United States.
And all that production you used to do of denim fabrics has gone where?
Primarily to Asia. A little bit to, you know, what's left in this hemisphere is in Mexico, but the vast majority of it went to Asia and has been in Asia for several years now.
So when you see the whole NAFTA debate going on, is that a factor for you?
Yeah, that ship sailed a long time ago. You know, going back and trying to rebuild NAFTA into, you know, what it was before then, nobody is saying that. I'm certainly not saying that. But that you know, years ago when Ross Perot, the giant sucking sound, whether you agreed with his delivery or not of that line, it was absolutely, positively, he nailed it right on the head. And it wasn't just textiles, it was other manufacturing jobs that just have been sucked out of this country. That's what pisses me off. It's not just what happened to this company, it's what's happened to manufacturing in the U.S. that has just literally been sucked out of this building, out of this country, excuse me.
Well, no, it's an interesting Freudian slip, right? Out of this building.
Yeah, and it literally out of this building. So let me walk you through here and show you.
In the early days, DNA Textile had 350 people working in this factory. Now, after the latest layoffs this past January, it's less than 100 as Monty tries to make the turn from being a full-blown denim manufacturer to something smaller, making technical, high-end fabrics, wall coverings, airplane and auto seat covers, and flame-retardant uniforms and clothing. Smaller is not necessarily cheaper, though. There was market research to do, new equipment to get, and a new workforce as well.
You know, the old days of just walking in and going to work and doing and running the machine over and over and over again, I think in almost every industry, that's probably a thing of the past.
He knows change is hard, Monty Galbraith says, but he's still angry that the jobs that are leaving are the ones people could support their families on in a solid middle-class life.
You know, it's a cliche, but it's not the biggest and the strongest, but it's the most adaptable that survive. And I think we've already shown our ability to adapt just to stay as long as we did. We don't want to go back, nor are we pining to go back. We understand things change. But it still makes you upset that good people, when they lose their jobs. But there's no turning back. No, there's not any way have I ever said, can we go back to the old days? Because things do change. I just wish I'd looked a little forward and moved a little faster, a little earlier.
Right. Anyway, lead on.
I'm going to take you to the weave room.
All right. Is that where I'm finally going to see the looms?
That's where you're going to
finally
see the looms.
Man.
He's got 110 of them. They were super loud, so loud it was basically white noise.
Holy cow.
But for Monty Galbraith, it's the sound of money. His change away from denim, he says, is going to cost him $7 million. He's $1 million into it now, and it's going to be years until he will know whether he's been able to navigate the changes the economy says he has got to make. So that is one slice of manufacturing in America mid-2018. Tomorrow, slice two, same city, Columbus, Georgia. Totally different kind of stuff being made. Think big giant buckets of red hot metal. Columbus, Georgia, I ought to say, has a long, long history with the textile industry. We tell some of that story and post some pictures from our swing through Monty Galbraith's factory at marketplace.org.